about what you're doing. And later on, switch on TV. They give me the news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now what are we doing?
Rick Adams is on.
Welcome all to the program, Rick Adams Uncensored. And here we are now in March 4th. And I say beware the Ides of March. Yes, if you're listening, Julius Caesar, well, wherever you may be, you know that feeling. Got the point. All right. Well, here we are today, folks, Saturday, and I have a special program lined up. Art was supposed to be with me in the first hour, but I think we're going to get him to switch to the second because I have back in this hour, and I want to get right to my guest for now, and that is a guest who has been here several months ago, last year, and he is an expert in the field of history, PhD in field of history, particularly Russian history, and the Russian Orthodox medievalist movement. And I believe his website is rusjournal.org. That's his website. And he is Professor M. Raphael Johnson. I call him Matt Johnson. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be back, Rick. It really is. You were one of my first interviews when I first got started in this field. I've been saying for 15 years that you're the best.
I don't think so, but thank you for the compliment. You know, Matt, I think you're one of the leading scholars that I can call upon in this field of history, particularly Russia, because now, as you know, and as we said last time, Russia is making news again, and we're hearing a lot of bad things now about what was a good Russia, as you know, in the 1920s, following the Bolshevik Revolution, the 1930s, and during the war years. Now, all of a sudden, the media manipulators, these sons of Cain, are manipulating things to begin what they'd like to see as the Third World War. So, with that in mind, and we see all of the tensions now beginning to rise concerning, Kisilov and others in the Russian government right now, vis-a-vis Trump and vis-a-vis the Democrat Party that is now surfacing in the latest reports from Breitbart. I thought I'd bring you on, first of all, to give us a little background on your studies of Russia. Just give us, our audience, a little background on your own field of expertise in this area, first of all.
Well, back in the 80s, I was a musician, and but then the wall came down. And when the Berlin Wall fell, you know, music just seemed very trite to me. And I got involved right away in Soviet studies at the University of Hartford. And I never really deviated from that. And I became Orthodox in grad school. And my first book came out in, 2001 from the Barnes Review on the Third Rome, that the Tsarist Empire was probably the most just, humane society possible in Europe at the time. Especially prior to, Peter the Great was a huge exception to that, but in general, the system was extremely humane, contrary to the myth. And, and you know, when you read the Third Rome, and there's some things in that book, I was very young, I'll kind of wince at today, but I was very angry. And I was angry because every historical slogan you hear about Russia is usually wrong. And you have professors getting six-figure salaries spouting this stuff, probably knowing it's wrong.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, Rick, I've said this on your show for almost two decades, that Russia is the center of the world, especially in an industrial economy, not merely because of her resource, but because she's always been one of the most, being completely surrounded by opponents her whole existence, she has a very strong communal instinct. This is why she can't be beaten. And this what the regime is doing now, in deliberately picking war with a very confident, very well-off Russia is an absolute, it's a gamble, obviously. But they can't win this. And they have, either I'm wrong here or they have reached a point of irrationality that even you or I hadn't predicted.
Well, I do believe they are insane, and I believe they're criminally insane, and quite honestly, I think you really have to go a little bit higher or lower, as the case may be, than that. I believe we're dealing with satanic influences here, and we are dealing with Satan's forces to create that scenario that we saw in previous two world wars. I mean, you know, you thought we should lose, I mean, we should have learned something in the First World War when we were lied to by the media then, and told that it would be a war for end times, that would be no more war after World War One, and we knew that was a lie. Some of us did. Henry Ford did, and a number of others, and yet they were denounced and smeared and vilified, and lo and behold, we have another war, the most devastating, I would say, in the history of this planet, you know, with the loss of, during the war alone, of over 50 to 60 million souls to communism. And when you think about that, and the madness that created that war, why not? I mean, why not another world war? Why not a major conflict in which the whole world is immersed and they think they can somehow escape? That they have their underground caverns and they have their little hideaways and their bunkers, whatever. But what's left? You know, what's left after that? These people are really demented and satanic people, in my opinion. That's the way I have to see it, Matt.
Well, there's clearly a spiritual side to this. There's no question about it, that the intense, almost perfect coordination of their forces, you know, over the last 100 years, or even since the rise of the Rothschilds, suggests that there's other elements at work. Mm-hmm. Their complete domination, even over our very language, and how we form arguments, there's always been a strong, and these people really haven't been shy about admitting it. You know, Bohemian Grove sacrifices and all. You know, these people haven't been shy. It's their pyramid obsession, all the occult symbols that these people use. They haven't been shy about that side. You know, Lucifer, Prometheus is the god that they worship. It sounds a lot better than Satan. Of course, they would never say Satan because he's not an enemy. But to them, but Lucifer is enlightenment. That's what the word means. The bearer of mm-hmm. light. Enlightenment, right. Which created the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. which you know, destroyed entire nations, made colonialism absolutely necessary, ground up generations of workers in the factories, and created the kind of weaponry that slaughtered tens of millions, like you say, in World War One and World War Two, and they didn't learn anything. World War One was more bloody than all previous wars put together in Europe. Yes. No one denied that at the time. They couldn't, especially with trench warfare, how senseless it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were still on the offensive afterwards. The scientific establishment, the state, nothing seemed to change. They didn't. You know, they had no other alternative to offer. So the slaughter continued. World War One made World War Two possible. They do have, you know, the gated communities. They do have their underground caverns. But I like you, the ruling class, I usually call the regime, refers to both public and private capital, because, you know, there really isn't much of a division anymore between the state and corporate money.
Right.
And most of the state is, at least in America, is privatized anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that line is long gone. But the regime is, yes, that, these informal networks of both private and public capital throughout the world, with a few holdouts, the primary one being Russia, as she's always been the case. And let me just very briefly say, one of the central tenets of my career is that it's very rare to find a leader, Vladimir Putin, who's taken a fourth world country, which is what Russia was in 1997 when she defaulted, to the world's sixth largest economy and extremely powerful military force, now in a firm alliance with China, like you have today. This is why the man is one of the most popular politicians in the world. And I guess part of the reason why my first book was so angry was that they know that this stuff isn't true, but they are obsessed with Russia. That's all they talk about, and they're willing to sacrifice tens of millions of Americans to fight a country that no one is quite interested in. For all the military buildup that the U.S. is engaging in the border of Russia, the southern and the western border, no one knows why. I've never heard a coherent reason ever been given. We're talking about on the brink of serious war, which, by the way, never happened while the USSR was around, except very briefly in Cuba. But otherwise, they never came this close to the brinksmanship that they have now.
Exactly what I see them as planning and you know, having to create this scenario. They call it Illuminism and the Illuminati and Albert Pike and so forth. Whatever you want to call it, there is a grand design, as many say, to this plot. There is no reason except, as you pointed out, a satanic reason for dominance of the world. You know, creating a new world order means destroying the old. Now, I want to go back in history to Lenin, for instance. This is a question that many of my listeners and myself have about how the Bolsheviks came to power. Many now are seeing in this country a civil war in which all of the pieces, all of the fragments of opposition to the regime that's in power now, the president and Congress, is organized after that model of Nikolai Lenin to bring Bolshevism to power. I don't know all of it, but I'm sure you do with your extensive background. Tell us about what happened between the Menshevik government in Russia and the Bolshevik government, and what took place under Nikolai Lenin, if you can.
Well, it was 100 years ago that Tsar Nicholas allegedly signed his abdication. And directly from there in St. Petersburg, the white government, Alexander Kerensky, who was a 32nd degree Mason, took over, not satisfying anybody. Remember, the white armies during the Russian Civil War were fighting for Kerensky. They weren't, you know, on the far right, as the communists like to tell you. There were certain monarchists and people like that involved in it.
Sure.
But they believed in you know, reconvening the Duma, and you know, they were fighting for the provisional state.
Mm-hmm.
But that satisfied nobody. You know, the white armies had no ideology. They had nothing to bind them together.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would sell them weaponry. Initially, they had far superior forces. They had far superior officers. But the West was absolutely obsessed with making sure that Russia was reconstituted in such a way that it was friendly to the United States and was willing to continue World War One against Germany, or at least as a bulwark against Germany. Mm-hmm. And they put their money on the Bolshevik. The white armies didn't get a penny from the West. The expeditionary forces were fighting for the Reds. The British could have destroyed the Bolshevik Soviet in St. Petersburg in 5 minutes. Rather, they protected it. Same thing for they held the Japanese off, who were willing to destroy the Soviet government in Siberia. They were fought by the... So, you know, the key understanding here in this period of time, so between 1917 and 1921, when the Civil War, at least the worst part of the Civil War, was over and Lenin took over, was number one, that the West backed the Bolshevik government. No one in the West knew much about socialism or Marxism or Bolshevism. All they knew was someone they could rely on. Mm-hmm. Number two, as we all know, big bankers in the West were financing Lenin, which is how they were able to buy, you know, top-notch weaponry and bringing, you know, mercenary forces from all over the world to fight in Lenin war. And number three, none of them actually believed in anything called socialism. The only thing that the Soviet Union was throughout its existence was a way for this overwhelmingly Jewish ruling class to extract the wealth generated by the Russian workers from time immemorial into their... That's all it was, and it served no other purpose than that. The workers never benefited from socialism in any way whatsoever.
You know, what I saw in some of the documentaries over the years on the rise of Bolshevism was this group of fanatics that were at the time, as you know, using the printing press as their leafleting would be, you know, their main form of communication for the masses. And that was to bring about that spirit of hatred, that, you know, revulsion at the current regime so that it could take it down. And I alluded to this fragmentation a moment or so ago, but the uniting of various factions that I've read about or heard about from people, you know, who have written books like, for instance, Behind Communism is a classic example. That book was written many, many years ago, and it was denounced, of course, by EDL type because it named some of the names of some of the people were actively involved. In fact, most of them were these people who I call the Kenites, the Jews at that time, stirring up this hatred and revulsion for the regime that was in power. So it seems to me that maybe if you look at it from that point of view, you will see a united, if you will, of hatred against the entrenched government to help unite all of the factions to bring down the whole system and then substitute the ruling class of the Bolsheviks. Is that somewhat accurate or not?
Absolutely. In fact, over the last 5 years or so, I spent a lot of time reading the Russian press at the time, yeah. during the Civil War and actually during World War One.
Uh-huh.
Actually, between 1905 and the start of World War One and 1914. And they're very much like the press today. It was very Jewish, and they simply made things up.
Yeah.
The story about Rasputin having sex with Alexandra, this is all concocted. There was no reason.
Fake news, fake history, fake terror, and fake talk on mainstream radio.
Yeah, well. Rasputin was nowhere to be found. He didn't even want to be near the palace. They couldn't attack Nicholas directly because he was too popular. So they created this Rasputin monster, who is a complete work of, I mean, he actually existed, but he's a work of fiction. There's something else, and I have several articles on my website. It's been published in journals all over the place. There was an extraordinary commission by the white government trying to find all the things that were wrong with the Tsar, corruption, the evil, mm-hmm. Rasputin, all of this. And they put a lot of money and time into it. And to their credit, they admitted they found nothing. That the revolution was based on a lie, and they said so. Now, I have the Extraordinary Commission. It's called, in short, that Kerensky did demand as an accounting of the last emperor.
Yes.
And they found nothing. They couldn't find any substantial examples of corruption in the official duties of the cabinet, or at least of Nicholas personally. And especially completely exonerated Rasputin for being this terrible figure that most people think he is. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, for some reason, has been kept out of the press for years, that the whites tried to find problems with the Tsar and couldn't. And at least to their honesty, they said, we can't. So they admitted the whole thing was fraudulent. And of course, as you say, the press and the yellow journalism at the time was largely responsible.
And again, you have to go back to the Rothschilds in Europe. You have to go back to the big banks, the lenders of money. And Russia, particularly, if I'm not mistaken, under the Tsars, played a very key role in trying to keep out of Russia the influence of the Rothschilds and a central banking system that would be owned by them. Hmm?
Yes, this was the great sin that Russia committed throughout the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
There were many offers to kind of privatize the currency, and they were refused.
Yes.
Alexander III and Nicholas II very angrily refused it, fully being aware that to give away the currency is to give away something.
Yeah, give away the whole country.
Mm-hmm. The Black Hundreds, or the Union of the Russian People, which had 500,000 members by 1905, said they wanted to get off the gold standard and have a paper fiat currency printed by the emperor, because even being part of the gold standard meant that the regime could still manipulate gold prices. So even that was too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
Russia and America are probably the two countries in the world that really could be autarkic if they really needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
They have everything they need.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the time of the Civil War, World War One, I should say, Russia was very autarkic. They produced everything, and everything extra was exported. And that was driving the regime crazy. She was almost a civilization in and of itself. And that's why St. Petersburg was a big prize for the major bankers. And so they talked lie after lie about Nicholas II.
No question. It's all about a flood of lies, folks. We will come back with Matt Johnson, my guest. We may have a couple of questions come up, too. We'll take them as we wend our way to the end of the first hour. Rick Adams Uncensored, and we shall be back.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all-natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high-quality, all-natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined, natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
We're back, folks, at RVN. We're talking with Matt Johnson, professor, PhD, rustjournal.org. It's one of his websites. I think, Matt, you still have another website, or is that the only one now?
No, that was the setup by Matt Parrott, and he actually wrote the introduction to a lot of it, and he's actually footing the bill for it, so I always wanted to thank him for that. I was with the Voice of Reason Radio Network for a while.
Yes.
And they kind of took over my old site, and then they disappeared. I still don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, here you are, an ex-professor. You saw the handwriting on the chalkboard, so to speak. You saw the corruption in academia, which is just as corrupt as media today. It's just as corrupt as the economic field. You know, what we call in the Bible these hidden dynasties of corruption and anti-Christianity. And so you're ex, and, you know, it's tough for you to make a living. I'm sure it's very difficult for you to continue to rake in the bucks, you know, that these $600,000 figure professors are raking in. I find the same thing with Dr. Meraki, who was a professor, as you probably have heard of him. He came on these programs years ago, and he got fired. I mean, he actually lost his academic credentials, was fired from a university because he was questioning 9/11 and began to dissect it. He was in Afghanistan, became an American citizen, but the fact of the matter is that he was refuting myth after myth after myth about the powers that be about the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, and he was helping to save children's lives there from all of the fallout of that war. And he won't come on radio anymore. He's pretty well washed out now, unfortunately. He's frightened to death to come on and tell the truth. And this is what I find now across the academic world, largely, not entirely, but I find that, you know, our people, the people that speak the truth, are persona non grata. They can lose their credentials, lose their scholarship, lose their tenure, if that's possible, and it is, and then lose their income. So this is what happens when you serve the truth versus Satan's lies. Satan takes good care of his people, you have to admit. I mean, they've got money coming in and out of the yin-yang, and our people are largely starving to death. That's a common phenomenon today, which is really typical of what we see in these times of the preload, Matt. So, you know, I take my hat off to you guys and doing what you do, because I'm in the same boat financially. We're basically all on that same plane. But, you know, we can't give our souls to any side just to be neutral with God, I think, is the important thing. Because what can a man give in exchange for his soul in the end? You know, there's nothing in this world that's going to matter when that time comes, the time of judgment. And it will come. So, you know, it's like, you know, you live for truth, live for God, and if you make a couple of shekels along the way and you manage to survive, I think that's all we can expect, you know. And I take my hat off to you guys. Now, getting back to Russia, getting back to the Bankster Gangsters, I believe my study of the Rothschild family, and it hasn't been an exhaustive one as others, perhaps yourself, but I believe because of that animosity and that, if you will, that hatred for the czars of Russia, the smearing of them, the vilifying of them in history, that they vowed, Nathan Rothschild, the ancient patriarch, actually vowed to do everything he could to kill off the Romanovs, to kill off the you know, the family of the Lianowskis and so forth in Russia, and to destroy the entire family tree if he could because of their hatred for central bank. Do you have anything to say about this issue?
Well, yeah, quite a bit. You're absolutely right. Jews in old Russia did very, very well, as they did everywhere. The Kahal system in the western part of the empire was allowed to continue. A lot of the old power relations in you know, parts of Poland that were taken by Russia were allowed to continue. I have a paper on the commission that was demanded by Emperor Paul and Alexander I to try to figure out what the causes of anti-Jewish violence were in the western part of the empire, the newly acquired parts of the empire. So we're talking about the turn of the 19th century here. And so he sent Gabriel Derzhavin, the poet, who was vaguely philo-Semitic, and sent him on a fact-finding tour, and he came back anti-Semitic.
All right, I'll have to hold you on that note. We got another quick break, and then we have plenty of time to talk. Stay tuned to that notation, folks. We will continue with Professor Matt Johnson, Rick Adams Uncensored.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All right, we're back now with Matt Johnson. And, Matt, you're just talking about this commission report. I guess it was under the Kerensky regime, and it was a white Russian report that had basically was a fact-finding mission. And you were just telling us what they were finding, the reasons for what they called anti-Semitism in Russia.
Well, those are two different things. The first thing was right after the Tsar abdicated, almost very close to the actual Bolshevik takeover.
Yeah,
the Kerensky government did order the emergency commission to study the previous regime,
mm-hmm.
and they found nothing. I meant something different. This was the turn of the 19th century.
Yes,
the Emperor Paul and Alexander the First had both separately used Gabriel Derzhavin to discover the causes of anti-Semitism in the Western Russian Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And they all were quite, these were wealthy cities. These were very important to the financial health of the empire. They couldn't have violence there. And Derzhavin essentially came back, having formerly been philo-Semitic, and he said, here's why. Because they use any sort of method, the Kahal, not individual Jews, but the Kahal as an institution, use any sort of method, any sort of fraud to trick peasants into signing their land away,
mm-hmm.
including the simple use of just of vodka, where in parts of Western Russia they had a monopoly.
Yes.
They come from the Polish Empire.
Oh, my.
And he tried to get out of this. He tried to figure out a way, you know, to avoid the issue, but he couldn't. He said, this is why. And from there on in, the emperors sought to integrate the Jews into Russian society, make them Christians, maybe, or at least give them land to till.
Uh-huh.
And they all failed completely.
Naturally, yeah.
And so the Union of the Russian People, or the Black Hundreds, had Zionism as part of their platform. Get mm-hmm. them out of Russia and bring them to the Middle East, which, of course, was Hitler's first solution as well.
Well, you know, right, working with them, right, exactly. The thing about this Zhukov Commission and what came out of it is a fascinating study in itself, and it's up, I believe, on your site now. You have posted a lot of this, and we referenced your site before. We'll do it again before the end of the hour. The thing that's interesting is what was going on there in Europe at the turn of the century with the Mensheviks, the Kerensky regime, and the lead-in to the Bolshevik bloodiest revolution in Russia's history, is that here in America, around the same time, around the late 1800s into the 1900s, there was a president, I think his name was called McKinley. Does that ring a bell, William McKinley? He was assassinated. He was actually murdered. And there have been reams written about William McKinley and his assassination, and apparently, from what I gather, there is quite a bit of truth to the fact that the Rothschilds' emissaries in the United States have been active in financing the Civil War on both sides. You know, the Schiff brothers were actually hiring their hired gun to kill McKinley because he was a stalwart opponent of the introduction of a Federal Reserve System at that time. This had been going on now for over a decade or so in that era. So I find it interesting that while they were fomenting revolution, you know, in Europe, first the French Revolution, then the Russian Revolution, and so forth, they were also working here to create civil war, civil strife, fratricide, and the byproduct of it now is these world wars that unfortunately are just one big continuum, Matt, you see?
Well, you're right. I mean, there certainly was a revolution at the turn of the 20th century in this country. World War One, World War Two were sufficient for that. Now we have, you know, mass employment. The robber barons are still around.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the productive capital are in the hands of very unproductive people, a handful of very unproductive people. And, you know, given we have a forcible globalized society, attempts to assist, you know, the American economy are problematic because that money would go around the globe. These multinational corporations have no real home, and their whole agenda, these are the people who promote globalism. The globalization, the New World Order, is a product, at least initially, of multinational firms, energy and finance definitely, to break down all national and cultural barriers, to have one currency, one set of regulations, and to have a completely, just a massive mobile labor force. That would be, because there's so many billions of people on the planet, would be almost we work for pennies. And to be completely administered by the regime's media. And how close they're coming to seeing this as a reality is frightening. But it's pretty clear to me that Donald Trump in this country and Vladimir Putin in Russia were not exactly planned. Trump has survived four assassination attempts so far. The media will say anything about him. They make stuff up about him, just like they made stuff up about the royal family in 100 years ago. They don't care. They've even admitted, the New York Times admitted, that we're not about objectivity anymore when it comes to...
Anymore. They never were.
Well, of course not. And this whole thing about fake news is such a joke, because most of what they say, their whole career is false.
Well, that's exactly the truth, you know. And this paradigm, you know, goes back, as you recall, the days of Walter Duranty and the New York Times lying about Russia then, about the Bolsheviks, and then receiving a Nobel Prize for it, tells you something about the Nobel Committee and how they awarded it and then had to retract and give it back. And so, well, we didn't know, you know, it was a mistake, and we apologize. And then they did it again and again with John Reed and Herbert Matthews in the 1950s, and They did it with the reporters in the Central American wars that were going on, you know. I mean, the reporters, that whole business of embedded journalists, you know, happened long before the Gulf War and the subsequent post 9/11 wars. You know, Lyon Bryan and company there, I mean, come on. You know, it's just in your face. Most people recognize it now, but still they are forced to, in a way, recognize the latest tidbit of propaganda that emanates from the bowels of the New York Times, the Washington Post. And now, I mean, the thing is, you know, it's like the alternative media have been compromised as well, as we know. They have been sort of supplanted to a large degree with a lot of disinfo. And so, you know, if they can't win over one side one way, Matt, it seems as if they just go the full route, you know, the full gamut. We'll take them all. We'll go from one media source to another, and then we'll sow disinformation. You know, this is why today online there are disinformationist talk shows. As you know, there are people who are playing the fiddle of both sides. But I always ask the question, what do they think regarding this whole question of Zionism, this whole question of Israelism and Jerusalem? What are their positions? And, you know, either they'll run like, you know, like scared rabbits, or they'll address it in a very disingenuous way. They'll beat around the bush. Those are the questions I want answered by people. I want everybody to answer those questions. And finally, when I talk to the rabbis, I say, what think ye of Jesus Christ? You know? And then, oh, you know what, breaks loose. So, you know, it is a very messy thing in the media. And we haven't gotten the truth about Bolshevism or Russia. But now we find, with all of this latest creation of the path to war, there is a sudden resurgence of the use of the term Kremlin, KGB, and so forth and so on. And I find that very fascinating myself, the way it's just crept back into the Cold War status of the media then. Don't you find that very interesting?
I find it very interesting. I believe that the Cold War was largely a myth.
It was. Of course it was. Yeah.
In the sense that American capitalism was so deeply invested in the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. they could possibly have a war. Every area of their heavy industry, 20s, 30s, 40s, and afterwards, came from American firms. I mean, General Electric created their electrical mm-hmm. grid.
Yes.
Henry Ford has a little black mark on his record because he built
the largest
truck plant in the world in eastern Ukraine in 1934. And the entire Soviet automotive industry comes from him.
Arm and Hammer, you know?
Yeah, they all did. So even Henry Ford, you know, when there's money, you know, all of a sudden the ideology goes out the window.
Exactly.
So the biggest, the single open secret, the greatest open secret in history now, is that there was no Cold War. The Soviet Union is the creation of the West. And it was a creation of the West at a time where that money was desperately needed at home. Their mining firms, oil extraction came from the Rockefellers. The Americans were and Western Europeans built the USSR and created. And Stalin actually was so upset by this when he first took over that he was afraid that Soviet sovereignty was going to be impinged by all of these foreign investors running the economy. So there could be no Cold War. There was never any anti-Bolshevism or anti-communism. Most Americans today or then had no idea what communism was and certainly couldn't define Bolshevism.
But the mania that was created after the deliberate, selling out of freedom in World War II was one that could be cultivated to sell more arms, to have more brush fire wars. As you know, Korea was a classic example leading to Vietnam. But it first started in World War II in the aftermath with the betrayal of Free China. So, you know, all of this now is just, you know, history that most children in school will never learn. They will never learn the truth about American imperialism and American interventionism, American internationalism, and how it was all based on lies to begin with. You probably recall reading a lot about the 1930s and how Hollywood then and how the OSS was actually connected in some ways, not as much as today, but at the hip. They certainly were conditioning the minds of the American people to fear Germans again, to fear Italians, to fear the Japanese more than anything. That was the grand appeal. And they were laying the groundwork psychologically in the minds of the American public that they should fear these people, even though there was no attempt to try to attack America or American interests, except as the Roosevelt administration was attempting to bait them, you know? So, I mean, aren't we seeing similar things right now with regard to Russia?
Yes. Let me put it like this. There's a single enemy, one enemy that New World Order has, and that's nationalism, especially Christian nationalism.
Yes.
The only times where the West would get upset with the Soviet Union was when they were suspicious that they were going to try, usually with China or India, to create this trading bloc without the dollar and without American involvement. All of a sudden, it became a problem. But this has been Vladimir Putin's whole world. Now, I was the first one to talk about Vladimir Putin in this way. In 2001, I was all alone. The right wing called me every name in the book. He was KGB, communist, all this stuff. Now they're all singing my tune. I don't get credit for it, but they're all singing my tune. I was the first one to do this. I was following his career in the 90s when he was at Yuri Sobchak's office and the mayor of Moscow. He was quiet, but he was building this coalition. The Soviet Union right-wingers didn't just die. They went into the security services, and they tried to pretend that Soviet patriotism was the same thing as Russian nationalism. And so the only and they didn't take Marxism seriously. They didn't give a damn about Karl Marx or Lenin. They cared about Russian interests. And so you have Russian nationalists all over the USSR, very few of them, but near the end of the empire, 70s and 80s, they were in the army and secret police. Those are the people now who took over with Putin, and they're nationalists. They want nothing to do with Western capitalism or Boris Yeltsin or Harvard University or anything like this. And Vladimir Putin's whole world, of course, I have a whole book out on this topic, his whole purpose is to break the power of the dollar over the American economy, which is necessary to globalization. So there is nothing this man can do that he won't come under attack. I predicted this in 2001 that this was going to happen. The one thing I did not predict was that the intervention in Syria, which was a brilliant move, which exposed the West's support of ISIS. The ISIS thing was the most ridiculous joke I've ever come across. These Hollywood bad guys wearing black in the desert made me laugh. The bad photoshopping and all this other garbage. It's almost like they're rubbing our nose in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Putin who forced the U.S. to condemn his attacks on ISIS, proving the connection between the two. That I did not. But so the point is, Putin has outmaneuvered them. But he doesn't owe anybody money. He doesn't owe the oligarchs money like Yeltsin did. He had his own foundation, and he and this small group rebuilt the state brick by brick from 2000 on, and it went from a fourth world basket case to the sixth largest economy on the planet. I think Hitler may have been the only other guy to have done that after Versailles in Germany in world history. And this is why they love him in Russia, and because he did it without the IMF, he did it without free trade, all this other garbage. This is why he could absolutely do no right as far as the Western world is concerned.
Now, what about the relationship? And, you mentioned Syria. This is an important factor in all of this Mideast, the prophecies and scripture in the Mideast, and particularly Syria being used as basically a football field where the United States is actually arming and openly arming through the United States Congress, financing terrorist factions that are committed, if you will, to the overthrow of President Assad's government. They're doing the same thing in Yemen now, and they're creating all of this animosity, all of this hatred. They're using proxies, the Saudi government, so on and so forth, and yet all of this is totally oblivious to the mindset of the American public. We know about it. You mentioned us. We know what's going on now, but the fact is the great unwashed out there have no clue. I'll tell you what they're saying now. They're repeating, and as you, I'm sure, attest, they're repeating whenever you're asked about Mr. Trump, and they don't like Trump or whatever, okay, they'll say, he's a Russian agent. It's Russia that's the bad guy. It's not America. It's Putin doing all of this. And we're going to go to war. We're going to do something about the Russian. That is that's the way I'm hearing.
Think,
Matt.
These people have control of the world's media. They have control of the armies of the world, nuclear weapons. They have control of the scientific establishment of the entire planet. And that's what they come up with? That the Russians hacked the election?
Yep.
As if...
They really aren't saying they've hacked it. I mean, there's never been that real... These so-called agencies of intel, the government, don't even agree on that at all. But the fact of the matter is, who are these intel? I want to know who they are. Where are they getting their disinformation? How are they eavesdropping? I mean, I don't know the answers to this, but I'm just throwing them out as a hypothesis. You know, where is it that it is written in stone that we should trust intel in this country or anywhere else for that matter? But I certainly don't trust my government.
Well, it wasn't an issue until the Trump concern.
Well, it started to become an issue last year when Mr. Trump entered into the fray, and all of these suppositions, all of these, you know, conspiracy theories started coming up. Now they've reached the climax. All right, we're going to take a break. Matt, back before Matt Jones.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Whatever needs to be done, we gotta do ourselves.
Well, I don't know if I'm audible now, but I understand I've been breaking up a little bit here, and Sam will let me know if I'm having more difficulty. Otherwise, we'll just come on the phone lines. In any event, Matt, you know, you've been quite audible. You've been clear all the way through this interview that we've been doing in this hour, and I think we just covered just a few short sections of historical evidence that somehow the whole world is being led, you know, by these forces that do seek to bring about destruction again, as they have in the previous world war. So, yeah, breaking up a little bit here. So I'm going to hand it over to Matt. And Matt, I want you to summarize basically what we're saying here, what people can do to your website.
Okay. I only got a few words there, but I think I can guess it from what we were talking about before. The hatred whipped up against Vladimir Putin was never, ever, ever seen, other than in right-wing publication, against any of the leaders of the Soviet Union. Never. This level of constant drumbeat for war for nothing. No one has still given an answer as to why this massive buildup in the Baltics, in Scandinavia, and in Poland, also Romania. Now, I have a contact in Romania. This has not been in the press. The contact in Romania is saying there's a massive American buildup, NATO, but mostly American, in that country, and it's extremely unpopular. Now, polls, for example, have been generally anti-Russian, but that's changing because, you know, they see the Americans as interlopers. They're building up these NATO bases all over the place. Now, the problem for the United States, of course, is that there's no political will. There's no unity in America. No one knows what they're fighting for. No one's going to die for this system. Even with a false flag, no one's going to die for this system. There's no money. And any war with Russia, due to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, is automatically a war with Iran, India, and China. The U.S. can't win. The U.S. can't win against China or Russia, let alone both of them. So, okay. So the first thing I said when I came on the air was, yeah, this is insane. They can't win. And if there's going to be a war with China, and they're picking fights in the South China Sea, as you've read about, where's the money coming from? If China isn't buying...
Well, Matt, I wouldn't assume that we're supposed to win a war. I believe it's all about them winning a war worldwide. It's not about us. America has to be destroyed in their view, and that's the way to do it, to line up
that's
all
the way to do it. That's right.
The final and third world conflict, you see.
That's right. No, that
we talk about treason, we're talking about, you know, all this nonsense about working deals with Russia, the Russian government, demonizing this one and that one. All of this is irrelevant right now because the real issues we should be looking at is America's totalitarian interventionist foreign policies from the previous century and how it is leading to its own destruction vis-a-vis Rome. You know, it's Pax Americana time.
Well, getting rid of... Saddam Hussein, who was a good man, and Gaddafi in Libya, also a good man, shows the insanity here. They deliberately created these, you know, people don't remember that Islam was dying by World War I. The Ottoman Empire, as it died, Islam died. It had to get its complete overhaul and facelift in 1948. And U.S. has been involved in supporting these movements for years, especially in the Balkans.
Hey, Matt, we're out of time. Unfortunately, the clock is ticking. I hate to interrupt you, but it's been great having you back again. We'll do it again, and I'll tell my listeners how they can get to your site again when we're back, okay? Thank you, Matt.
Great. I appreciate it as always.
God bless. All right, folks, be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.